This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
It's a new day with Rhett Palmer.
Your marriage, God's way. It's a new day with Rhett Palmer. Hi, I'm glad you're listening. A biblical guide to Christ-centered relationships. Scott LaPierre is on the line, and that's his book, yes. Your Marriage, God's Way. Good morning, Scott. How are you, sir?
Morning, Rhett. Good. I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show and for this opportunity to talk about my book.
Oh, I love what you're doing. Now, aren't you a pastor?
Yes, sir. I'm a pastor in Southwest Washington State. Been here since 2010. We have 9 children. Our oldest is 14, and thrilled to be able to write biblical books that hopefully strengthen people's marriages and relationships with Christ.
Well, I tell you what, anybody that has 9 children, I would love to wash your feet and your wife's feet. And I think, and the fact that God could trust you, I mean, it's got to be a very humbling experience to have 9 children. And that's got to be a whole difference. That I have a friend of mine in town here. He has 11 children. The Catholic lady that brought me to Haiti to do the missionary trips that I did, which led to me having my radio show 30 years ago, they had 9 children, 8 that were living. And it's got to be tough to have all those kids. Although I have a friend I went to Africa with, he's a pastor up in Hopewell, Virginia, Charles Bennett. He said actually having 8 children made it easier because the eldest took care of the youngest, and he and his wife actually had more freedom. Is that true?
You know, it's interesting. About 9 or 10 years ago, I was with a friend who has 12 children, and we only had 3 children, and we thought we were drowning. And he actually told us this was the hardest that it was, and it was going to get easier as we had more children, believe it or not, because the older kids were going to help more. And he was completely right, because our 3 young children were like, you know, 5, 3, and 2 or something. And so, yeah, that's correct what that individual told you.
Yeah, and the kids like to step up. It teaches them discipline, humility, the rewards of teamwork, correct?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to be very selfish or not as selfish in a family with a lot of children on a single-income pastor's salary.
yeah, really, that's amazing. You know, I've never had children. So today you're probably talking with a 5-year-old. I don't know why God chooses some, but obviously he felt he could trust you. I think some of us he allows I've got to pick out 1 or 2 once in a while to remain childish. I got that calling.
I'm sure if you got a window into our home or were a fly on the wall, there would be times that you'd think that he shouldn't have trusted us with this many children, because we have plenty of struggles and weaknesses and problems as a family. It's not like we necessarily set out to try to have a lot of children. It was more an issue of we got married and just wanted God to give us what he wanted to give us. You know, he could have given us 3 or 4. He's given us 9. Maybe he'll give us more. But it was just our conviction to let him build our family.
And they're 13 years of age and younger. How old are you now, Scott?
I'm 43. My wife turned 40 a few months ago, so we don't know if God will give us any more.
Now, I just can't imagine. I guess, you know, I have another friend in town here. He has 8 children, and his wife is 10 years younger than him. But, I mean, you would think that a woman would get tired out, but they say it actually gets easier for the woman each birth. Is that true?
You know, Rhett, I would say that Katie is tired. I really appreciate her conviction. She stuck with this. This is her conviction. I have the same conviction, but I didn't have to talk her into this. We got married, and she also felt this way, but I think it would be incorrect to think that she's not tired and worn out at times, and, you know, she's homeschooling, and so I try to help in different ways, but there's still a lot on her plate, and, you know, she's just a really incredible, wonderful woman. I'm very thankful for her.
Have you discovered what's causing these pregnancies yet?
No, we can't figure it out. We have no idea. I mean, if anyone else knows, they can contact me through my website and let us know. But
I have a lovely new friend. I've known him about a year now, and he's a youth pastor. And they're both pharmacists, so they've made good livings. But as soon as she got pregnant, they had 5 children. She took off all those years to rear all those children, and it is a household of God. And I don't mean I don't mean folks, and I don't mean religiosity. I don't mean puffed upness. I just mean love prevails in that household. There's nothing like a godly home. I've been in, you know, I've lived long enough now, and I've been in, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I've been in a lot of big mansions and stuff, and I find, frankly, I'd rather be in a house of God. It may be a smaller house, but that house may be is oftentimes filled with love. And it is...
Well said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God. And there's proverbs about that. There's proverbs about a house with joy and little, even just bread and crumbs, but it's filled with joy is better than... Yeah. Better than a mansion or better than wealth. So
I just don't want to say that too much because I don't want to give God the idea. Okay, we can arrange for you to live in a tent, Rhett. But anyway, he is the living God. Now, I don't know anything about you, so I do know you've written this book, Your Marriage, God's Way. I know before I had the book in my hands that you and I had done an interview, and I was very impressed, and I think we got along very well. And I think it's very, I think your book is so important, because if there's one thing that demonic power wants to do, it's to knock out the family unit. Even Confucius said, if you want a strong government, nationally, locally, regionally, it starts with a strong family. Isn't that right, Scott?
I absolutely agree with you, and I'd actually drill down a little further, and I would say a strong marriage, because a strong marriage allows for a strong family. A weak marriage is going to end up with a weak family. And if you flow from there, you've got a strong marriage, which leads to strong families. Strong families lead to strong churches. Strong churches lead to a stronger society. Whereas weak marriages, or when marriages are under attack, families are under attack. When families are under attack, the church is under attack. And when the church is under attack, all society is under attack. So there's really no better way to strengthen society than to strengthen marriages, because of the benefit to families, to churches, and to society in general.
Well, you know, Chuck Smith, who was the founder of the Calvary Chapel Group, he and I broke bread when I was much younger, 35 years ago, whatever, and he said, if you would like to learn something, teach it. And of course, that's true. When you sit down to write a book on marriage, the responsibility factor flares up, and of course, you'll work harder knowing that you're going to influence people than maybe you would for yourself, or you might become lazy. So I'm betting that you learned a whole lot by making the decision to write this biblical guide to a Christ-centered relationship, Your Marriage, God's Way.
Well, you know, Rhett, it's interesting. I was talking to Mr. B a little bit before the interview started, and I think he told me he was married 50 years.
Yeah. Congratulations, and Mr. B. Go ahead.
To me, that's an incredible testimony. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that our society rewards. I will get to responding to your comment, but there's a lot of things society rewards. And I'm not saying that the people that receive awards for sports or movies, you know, are ungodly individuals or anything, but I'm just saying, if you want to reward people, to me, people that have been married for 30, 40, 50 years, that's a pretty wonderful testimony and something, you know, commendable. But with that said, I actually didn't set out to write a marriage book. I set out to preach on marriage at my church, and it was supposed to be the marriage month, but it ended up basically turning into the marriage year, because it was kind of a running joke, like, when is this marriage month going to end, you know, when it hits like the 6-month mark, 7-month mark.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying preaching on marriage. I was enjoying the studying, the laboring in God's Word, and it seemed like my congregation was enjoying it. I was getting feedback from them, and that's why I continued preaching those sermons, and I really labor over each message, you know, 20 to 40 hours per week. And my wife was saying, you know, you have these sermons that you've written out so thoroughly, just manuscripts for all these messages, you really should turn it into a marriage book. And I kept putting her off because we were so busy with, you know, pastoring and family responsibilities. But finally, I took this little vacation to turn all those sermons into a book, and that's what ended up producing Your Marriage, God's Way. And so it's really... I would just like all the listeners to know, this book is not my opinion about marriage. It's not like, I'm not the author of marriage. I didn't create it. You know, it's God's first institution. He's the one that decided what husbands and wives should do and shouldn't do, and he's identified the roles and responsibilities in Scripture. And I just tried to flesh that out really well and provide examples and illustrations and so forth. But really, that's why it's called a biblical guide, because it's about what God's Word says about marriage.
You know, and in the end, this manual really has a lot of hidden gems in it. You know, speaking about how your wife encouraged you to do this, I wonder how many books would not have been written if it hadn't been for an encouraging spouse. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, which changed a reticent, shy, backward, awkward individual, Rhett Palmer, at the age of 20, picking it up in a drugstore and reading it changed my life. I was painfully shy up to that point. And his wife, Ruth, who I got to meet later in life, she is the one, he threw his manuscript, he got turned down, he threw the manuscript into the garbage, and Ruth picked it up and sent it into the publisher and said, you need to reconsider this. They decided to sign it up, and, 35, 40 million copies later. And I know Debbie Maycomber. She writes adult fiction, female fiction, excuse me. And it's biblically sound and managed to surreptitiously, get some of the scriptures in there. But if it wasn't for Wayne, her husband, she was going to quit because they couldn't afford it anymore. She had a rented typewriter, and they're sitting in bed 2 o'clock in the morning. He says, I think you need to keep going for this. I mean, so there's always a spouse involved, it seems, to encourage us, or someone very important, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that's insightful, and I think we see that back in Genesis. God creates each day, and at the end of each day, it says, God saw that what he had created in it was good. And then the first time that God saw something that was not good, it was man being alone, Genesis 2:18. God said that it was not good for man to be alone, and then he says, I will make him a helper. And it's interesting because we really don't think that there was anything not good until after the fall, until after sin had entered the world. But this was before the fall. And so God said that it wasn't good for man to be alone, I'll make him a helper. Sometimes women kind of cringe at that, which is very unfortunate because it's actually more of a commentary on man and man's inadequacy than it is on woman. So a woman says, I don't like necessarily being called a helper, but it's actually God's way of looking and saying, man needs help. He's not going to make it. It's like God looked and said, Scott LaPierre and Rhett Palmer are going to struggle unless I get them some help. And so that's what woman is. A wife is God's way of helping a husband or a man be all the things that he desires him to be that he wouldn't be without his wife.
It's a very strange thing because in the in Genesis, if you look up the word help, it's not help mate, M-A-T-E. It is help meet, M-E-T-E. And women have an amazing ability. They actually can use both sides of the brain at the same time. And they have an amazing ability to fill in the gaps where the man falls short.
Hi, folks. I'm sorry, but we have to interrupt this broadcast. We are out of time. To hear this interview in its entirety, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on WCNO. Who loves you, baby?
Shakings that have come upon America and the world from 9/11 to COVID-19, all part of an ancient mystery, a prophecy, a warning of what is still to come. From New York Times bestselling author Jonathan Cahn comes an explosive and mind-blowing motion picture, the harbingers of things to come, the one movie